Reading from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's asking, my kids asking me to promise to say yes, whatever they ask for. So we have James and John, Zebedee's son, come to Jesus saying, "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask you." Jesus asks, "What do you ask for me to do for you?" And they respond, "Allow one of us to sit on the right side and the other on the left side when you enter your glory." See, this their request follows the third time that Jesus predicts that he was going to Jerusalem. Not only he was going to Jerusalem, he will be handed over to the authorities, the chief priests, the legal experts. They will condemn Jesus to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, they will spit on him, and they will kill him. So it's surprising then that James and John would ask for the seats beside Jesus in his coming glory. Haven't they been listening to Jesus? So it is a disbelief that they could come with such a request right after when Jesus has told them about his death that's coming up. You see, this passage shows that those who follow Christ sometimes have a different agenda in their view from what they ought to have. Here we have Jesus speaking of his coming judgment, humiliation, and death. Now, however, James and John are still dreaming of that power, still dreaming of that position. So the question is, are we much any different from James and John? Because we should know better than to make that kind of insensitive request like these disciples. However, if we are honest enough with ourselves, you know, we might probably admit that there have been times in our lives when we have wanted the best seats in the house. And so for many of us, we have spent all that time thinking, wanting that privilege, that positions. But if we are to mix desire with pride, it would only make us willing to do just about anything to get our way. So if that's the case, a lot of people will get hurt. A lot of people will get stepped on. A lot of people will be left out. A lot of people will be pushed around, be bullied, be used, rather human beings who are created in the image of God. You know, it is said that some people get caught up with their own agendas, that they look at the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, for a possible vacancy. Because it's part of our nature. It's part of our broken condition, where fear is often the driving factor to seek security in the power and position. You know, fear causes enemies. Fear can make people be judgmental. Fear causes prejudice. Where fear secures only ourselves, only us, rather than risking the way of the cross. And so, are we to be like James or John? Where our desire, where our pride, where our fears can drive us to destroy our minds and our souls, our humanity. It can also destroy our happiness. Where it keeps us from being the people God created us to be. From being who we really are and can be. And where we can begin to live a new life of discipleship. And if we are honest with ourselves about our conditions, we can begin that journey towards the wholeness. And that journey begins and ends with Jesus Christ. Where the journey towards the true humanity begins when we put every bit of our trust in Jesus Christ, and it begins when we lay our fears at the cross of Jesus. It begins when we lay our pride. It begins when we lay our need of control, our entire selves, into the loving hands of Jesus Christ, where Jesus models the wholeness. And because of this, Jesus, with no hidden agendas, with no need of recognition, come to earth and say, I'm not here to be served, I'm here to serve. And so we are to be remade in that image of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us, to mold us, to overcome the insecurities that we may have, to overcome the fears that we may face, but to remake us to serve in love, because of love, for the sake of love, and because Jesus first loved us. And so we serve others with generosity. We serve others with grateful hearts. We serve others with loving hearts. And not for rewards. And the more we serve in the name of Jesus, the more transformation and wholeness takes place in our lives through servanthood and the willingness to die to and the willingness to die to the self and live with Christ and for Christ. You know, when we serve others in love, we become more like Christ. More like our true selves, more like the image of God into which we are created to be. You know, Jesus says, you know, you will drink this cup that I drink. You receive the baptism that I receive. And when he says that, we don't have to live in fear anymore. We don't have to continually seek our own security anymore. Rather, we have Jesus' promise that we can live and will live as faithful disciples as we seek to follow him. You know, in the church, the greatest among you are those who you serve. And it's interesting this morning, the announcements, you know, we are looking for leaders, volunteers, willing to serve others in our worship team, in our pastoral care team. Because the first among you are humble, the ones who consider others' needs above your own are bold. They are bold enough to in their faith, to take on that role of servant. You know, when we care about the things that hurt others, you know, our hearts will be open to their pain. And that openness will lead us to our own suffering, to its suffering. And so we need also to see people and realize their importance to God. Being called to God is not an invitation. It's not an invitation for special treatment. But it is an invitation for abundant life. We are called to follow the one who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Serving is not about pushing others out. Serving is not about demanding them in your ways and your ways of thinking. But serving is about giving their lives for the sake of others. And if we are to know how to have life, if we are to want to be whole and complete, take a look what Jesus has done. How Jesus have lived. We are to set free from the way of life, so that we can witness the only one who can actually make us whole. And that is Jesus Christ. Amen.